Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 61 of the Heat Sports Podcast, your home for the irrational fan of your Vancouver Canucks, BC Lions, and all things CFL. I am your host, Jake Hughes, alongside the old man. Old man, how the hell are you doing today?
I think I'm doing okay. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you. We can see you. There was about 30 seconds ago in the intro and you had disappeared.
I don't know what happened there. Everything is shut down. It was like, oh, cool. Good week. I've had a good week. Have you had a good week?
That's good. I've had a good week. The Canucks haven't quite had a great week or a good week or a week.
Sad.
We're a bit early for the BC Lions to have any effect on my mood.
It could be worse.
With the Lions or with the Canucks?
With the Canucks. Obviously, the Lions aren't doing anything. Dumble do it.
Well, I literally said something about the Lions, and you're like, it could be worse.
I was talking about the Canucks.
Oh, yes. Obviously.
Obviously.
But before we jump into the week that was with the Vancouver Canucks and touch on some news items from around the different leagues we follow, you might notice in the title here, we have a huge announcement that we're going to say for the end of the show that might just alter the entire landscape of our podcast.
It could alter the landscape of podcast in general.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely it could. If you believe in the butterfly effect, it definitely could.
It literally is so mind-blowing, but you got to stay tuned. It's revolutionary.
My mind's already blown by the way you're talking about it.
You never know.
You never know. You never know what's going to happen on the show.
No, we don't know.
Especially on days like today where we literally had, 5 minutes to chat before jumping onto the show?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, if that. Yeah. I don't even think we had 5 minutes.
Yeah, we made 5 minutes.
Yeah. It used to be a time when Jake would text me on a daily basis and we'd message back and forth all day long.
Yeah, then I had to get a job that actually needs me to do things and not just sit on my computer. So, it does. But hey, that just means when we're talking on here, it's actually true interaction of what's happening and people are getting our real reactions.
Exactly.
Let's start with some unfortunate news. Last week we talked about it as it had just happened, but it is official. Thatcher Demko is out week to week. He was seen at practice today. He out of gear, literally just standing on the bench, but apparently it was quiet enough in Canucks newsland that was news.
Thatcher
Demko standing on the bench watching practice.
I mean, there's so much more we could be talking about rather than Demko standing on the bench. But the week-to-week is more of what is the big thing. Will it be 3 more weeks? Will it be 4? Will it be 5 more weeks?
If we get into that 5 weeks, I'm getting concerned because there's only 5 weeks left of the season.
Exactly.
I mean, our last game is April 18th.
Has anybody actually said what's wrong yet?
Lower body injury. They're not going to say this close to playoffs. All that's said is lower body, and like we talked about last week, Farhan, Lalji, and Dhaliwal
said reporting, it was knee.
No, said it wasn't knee or wasn't groin. Yes. That it was an injury that hasn't plagued him before. So because his groin has bugged him before. He's never had a knee injury on the record.
Right. So, and the way he was moving, knee made sense. So we'll see. As a 50-plus year Canuck fan, I expect this shit. It's just like you expect the team to cheat on you.
But like as with Demko being out, it is a huge hit to the team. But is that where we were really struggling? Like, even with DeSmith in net, like,
oh, if I you look at
the two games we had this week that DeSmith started, was it really was it really goaltending's fault?
There was only one time where I saw DeSmith way out of position. I don't know what he was doing. He reminded me of Luongo.
Is that when he pushed out against Washington?
And honestly, I was playing a game on my phone and I looked up and I was like, what is he doing?
Well, I think because if I'm correct, which only 50% chance, he thought. 40. Yeah, I'll take 40. I believe he thought Ovechkin was in his office, pushed out to challenge him, and realized Ovechkin was behind him already.
Yes.
So I get the idea. If he made that save, it looks like a genius move to push out like that.
Exactly. And again, I'm not saying it's DeSmith's fault that we lost that game. Two blatant turnovers. A bad call led to one goal.
So I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, especially the last couple of days, blaming the linesman on that. Blaming the linesman. And not just blaming the linesman for the goal, but blaming the linesman for the entire loss.
No.
You can't put that on the linesman.
No.
No.
I mean, was it a bad call? Yeah. But I keep saying it. Good teams let bad calls affect them. Great teams overcome that shit.
Wally Buono used to say it all the time. If you put yourself in a situation where one call or one non-call is the difference in the game, you didn't win.
Yes.
You didn't deserve to win.
I mean, you do it. I mean, Wally Buono, he was discussing a really horrible pass interference call, and he said it. He said, yes, that was a horrible call, but we put ourselves in a position to let that horrible call cost us the game.
Well, not just that, but okay, the icing happens. You win the faceoff, and you can't clear the puck.
Exactly.
You clear the puck, that doesn't happen.
No, and that's what I mean. I forget who it was. Who's the our friends over at 6:50 in the morning? I'm blank, totally blank.
6:50.
Yeah, AM 6:50 in Vancouver. I can't think of their names. Anyways, they were talking about this today, and it was almost like...
Halford and Brough.
Yes. And Tockett brought it up as well. It was like almost every player to a man was waiting to see who was going to step up, and nobody stepped up.
You know what? I was going to lead this somewhere else, but that leads into something I want to talk about. Where is EP40? Because he's invisible. I pulled up his stats since the trade deadline. And where has he been? Since the trade deadline, 19 games, plus minus of zero, with 4 goals, 11 assists.
How many games?
19.
So he's 15 points in 19 games. And I smile because 15 points in 19 games, and we're calling him invisible. But you're right, he is, because he should be double that.
100% he should be double that. Earlier this season, he was double that.
Exactly.
We're going on a quarter of a season, 19 games since the All-Star break. And he'll have ruts where he gets 0 points, 0 points. Then he'll have 3 assists.
I can't explain it. I mean, we've talked about it week after week, and... I don't get it. I don't know where that magic button is to make a player click on or click off. It's weird.
Is it as simple as they didn't get him line mates? Like, look who he's playing with. Now, they did do different line rushes today, so I'm assuming the lineup for tomorrow's game will be different. They lined him up with Garland and... Hoglander.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're two guys who are just straight up getting points and looking good. So,
What's your opinion? And I keep hearing this, all kinds of different opinions from different broadcasters and different insiders about the Lotto line.
Yep.
Do we need to go back to the Lotto line? Is that something that we're keeping for the playoffs?
If you're keeping it for the playoffs, why? Because you want PD to be like, right now you got to be thinking, okay, we need PD to start getting on a heater.
Yeah.
Do you want to see when he was at his best? Put him back with the Lotto line.
Well, that's it, right? It just doesn't make sense.
It's because they want to have this depth at center where you have the Miller line, PD, Lindholm, and then our fourth line. Right? Which to me is movable pieces.
Right.
But which I get, but Lindholm isn't scoring. Lindholm's great, been great defensively, but he is not fit with where we wanted him to play on the wing with Pettersson.
No, not at all.
Right? Like,
is the Lindholm experiment? Do you want to call it that? Has that been a bust?
And I think it's okay to call it a bust.
I don't know. Like, it's so frustrating because we're how many more games left in the season now?
We are at how many games have we played? We have played 68 games, so there's 14 games left.
14 games left, and we hit the playoffs. So what? We got another 3 weeks before playoffs?
Literally, we're 1 month away from the last game of the season. The 22nd of April is when playoffs start.
I guess the question I need to ask you, are we ready for the playoffs?
No. The team right now, no. And it's that simple. There's... The team right now is not structurally sound. There's no, like, 9 wins in the last 19 games. 9 wins. We have 3 overtime losses, which is great for points to keep us afloat. But in the playoffs, you know what you don't get? You don't get a loser point. You get a loss or a win. That's all you get.
And you don't have any more weak teams. When you hit the playoffs, the weak teams go away.
Yep. The stretch here that's coming up is a weaker stretch. Like the Capitals, we should have beat. They're not in a playoff position. Now we have the Sabres, Canadiens, Flames.
We got to beat these teams.
We have, like, not for standings wise, like we're 99.999999% guaranteed to playoff spot.
We're going to make the playoffs. 100% guaranteed. We're going to make the playoffs.
Where we finish makes a huge difference.
Huge.
But after those 3 games, we play the Kings, we play the Stars. Those are 2 teams in playoff position. Then we play the Ducks, then the Golden Noodles. The Ducks, we should be able to beat. But then we play the Golden Noodles. And that's going to be, that literally, as of right now, will be your first round matchup.
Terrifies me.
Unless
I want it. Don't get me wrong. The diehard hockey fan, I want that matchup more than anything in the world. I want that matchup if the Golden Noodles make the playoffs. St. Louis is only 4 points back, and St. Louis has won, I think, 4 in a row now. Go St. Louis.
That would make me the happiest man in the world, by the way.
Oh, it was funny because I was listening to Sportsnet here in Calgary, and they were basically saying the same thing. And they were talking to a guy from Toronto, and he was saying the same thing. It's like Vegas is the Los Angeles Raiders of old of the NHL. Everybody hates them except their fans.
Yeah, they do, like, and really looking, like, I'm looking ahead at the Golden Knights schedule.
They have a pretty easy schedule.
I disagree. They play us twice. They play the Oilers once. They play the Blues once, who are nipping at their heels. They have the Wild twice, who if the Wild win that game, that's a 8-point, that if the Wild win those 2 games, that's an 8-point swing to put the Wild into a playoff position. They have the Avalanche. Yeah,
exactly.
So They play the Lightning tomorrow. None of those games, that's seven games that I just listed off there that aren't easy games.
Yes. Let's hope. It would make me happier
than to play the Blues in the first round. Or the Wild. Really, I don't care which team. Nothing would make me happier than playing the Blues, any team other than the Golden Knights, because let's face it, the Golden Knights, they had issues. If they get through this, they don't make the playoffs after all of their LTIR we talked about last week, it's going to be nice. But getting back on to the Vancouver Canucks, it's disappointing looking at the stats over the last 19 games. We're losing games in 3-4 fashion, 1-2, 1-5 against the Kings. The games that we're losing against teams that we need to be beating if we're going to keep this up. And it goes into a lot of different issues within the Canucks organization, I feel. We are having some technical issues with the old man, so do not panic if you don't see him or hear him for the next little bit. He's figuring out some technical pieces. But like, we're losing to teams that we should be able to beat. Losing to Colorado makes sense. Losing 10-7 to Minnesota does not. And that's where I think a lot of these losses that we have, where it's a close game, a 4-3 loss, a 3-2 win against Washington. It's games and stretches that we just don't, or games that we need to be able to withstand. Once you get into the playoffs, that withstanding it's going to be that much harder. You're playing the same team for a minimum of four games in a row. Sure, you're going to need to have great goaltending. You're going to have great other pieces. But having games, you need to be able to grind out a 4-3 win, a 2-1 win against teams like Colorado and Washington. You can't rely on a 5-0 blowout against Winnipeg, who's playing on a back-to-back. Because if they're playing on a back-to-back, guess what? In the first round, or in any round of the playoffs, they're playing on a back-to-back. So, you just need to, again, there's something within the organization, within the team, that needs to just get poked. And I know Tocchet and the entire organization is doing the best that they can, but there needs to be more. There needs to be more from these players. In the 19 games since All-Star break, and I've been doing a lot of these since All-Star break because it's been a 20-game stretch almost of time where the Canucks just have not looked good. And sure, we keep winning games and we're gaining points, but we don't always look great. In the 19 games since the All-Star break, Miller has 9 goals. Hoglander has 6. Brock has 5. Elias Pettersson has 4. Everyone else has 1 or 0. And that's not how the Canucks were winning games earlier this season. Earlier this season, we were winning games by huge margins and scoring from our third and fourth line, from our defensemen. We're not getting that scoring anymore. I see we are joined back by the old man, but it does appear that he's frozen. Welcome back, old man. We got you. We got movement. Nope, we lost him again. But we're having issues scoring at depth, like how we were playing in the first half of the season. I don't know what's changed. Is it really as simple as Dakota Joshua coming back and bringing that charge? Because what's changed since the All-Star break?
Well, and sorry about that, folks. I don't know what's going on with my computer, but all kinds of weird stuff is happening. I think it's the Gremlins. More stuff is happening. I don't know what's going on anymore. I hope you can hear me.
We can hear you.
It's frustrating to watch, because as you're watching, it's the same team.
But there has to be some explanation, and I can't find one.
So I don't get it. I don't understand. You can't find one.
There isn't one. Like looking at stats, looking at the numbers that are looking at the numbers and everything underneath, there's not a lot of change from what happened. And it's super frustrating because there is no answer. And again, it's, I'm about to sneeze. I apologize. It's issues that should be fixable. There's something going on, and maybe it's structurally, maybe it's individual players, but it's all happening at the same time. And it's bringing me worry because, okay, a week, that's fine. We'll get it back on track. Then we'll have a great week of 4 wins, but it's not sustainable. And that's a problem. We need to have this sustained success. We get 4 wins in a row against teams like Anaheim. I mean, the last stretch of 4 in a row was Anaheim, LA, Vegas, and Winnipeg. Now, Winnipeg again was on a back-to-back. We also had time between each game. Is it as simple as we're spending too much time at home right now? I don't know what it is, but it's been 19 games of inconsistency, and it's causing me a lot of worry as a Canucks fan because this team's going to make the playoffs. But where is this team going to be? Great question, D. How do you maintain success? You keep doing the same things. Like, and maybe that's what's different, is we're not doing those little things that we were doing before. And there's no reason for it. There's issues. There's issues somewhere. And I don't know if it's a coaching issue. I don't know if it's a player issue, a personnel issue, chemistry on the lines. It's really, it's mind-blowing to me on what the issue actually is with the team right now. But what we've added pieces that should be better and removed pieces that weren't being great with the Lindholm and Kuzmenko trade. But now it's just crickets. There's no depth scoring. There's no scoring from defense. And I feel like I'm just going in a loop talking about the same things over and over again. But it's infuriating because as a fan, there have been no changes. Oh, you've made one change and you've had a couple injuries.
Okay, I made a change. Let's see if this works.
You're connected to the wrong microphone.
Oh, for fun's sakes.
You know what? That's an easy, at least that's an easy fix.
That's an easy fix. Is it? Is it easy?
I don't know.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, way, way better. We actually sound like yourself.
There we go. Sorry, folks. I don't know what's going on with my computer. I could have tried a different thing here. So, I'm sure you went over this and covered it in detail now that I've left you alone for 5 minutes talking on your own. But yeah, you're right. I heard that last bit. And you're right. Nothing's changed. We shouldn't be... And I say sucking. I was going to use the word sucking. We're not really sucking. We're just not... We're not playing as good as we were.
And again, the stats that I have up on the screen here, where's the scoring from the depth? That used to be our strength. We used to have the third line. I mean, again, Dakota Joshua going out shouldn't halt our entire team's success.
Well, that's the problem, right?
And if it is, that's an even bigger problem. Because if teams know that, they're just going to target Joshua in the playoffs.
Pretty simple.
This isn't on our rundown or anything, but when Dakota Joshua comes back and is 100% healthy, do you try him in the top six? Do you give him a shot with Pettersson to see if he can get something going?
Well, it was funny because when I was listening to my morning talk show there in 6:50, they were talking, they kind of went back and forth. There was three of them, and I forget who the guest was. Anyways, they're going back and forth talking about what the lines should look like for the playoffs. And I'm like, oh, there's a great question for Jake. Playoffs starts tomorrow.
What
we're going to play the Golden Frickin' Noodles.
If we're playing if you're playing the Golden Noodles, you have to go Miller, Besser, and Suter or DiGiuseppe. You're not doing the lotto line against Golden Knights. Not a chance in hell. Their depth is what won them a cup. So you have to combat that depth with depth.
True. True. Yep.
So then you're putting, then again, fantasy world, everyone's healthy, ready to go. You've got Pettersson, Hoglander, and Joshua. Then you've got Lindholm, Mikheyev, Garland.
Which is the third line now.
Yeah, well, except supposedly they tried out today Garland with Petey up on the up on the top six. And then you've got Bluger, DiGiuseppe, and who's our fourth liner?
You know what's funny? The reason I'm laughing, not that I know, but that exact same thing happened live on the radio in 650. And they're like, all three of them were like, who's the last? Who is it? And you could hear someone typing as they were.
And definitely not happening here.
I can't remember who they said. That was funny.
Oh, Pod Colson.
Thank you. It was Pod. And they did the exact same thing. Now, do you move Pod Colson up to your second line?
I don't know.
Right?
Like,
he's proven he belongs. I mean,
100% he belongs in the NHL.
Yeah.
Are you getting the most out of him on the third line or the fourth line? I don't think so.
No.
But Suter, Miller, and Besser have been very strong. I think Dakota Joshua is enough of a push with Pettersson and Hoglander that line could really be a mover.
Yes.
Then you've got again in my world where you have Garland, Lindholm, and Mikheyev. Hopefully that gets Mikheyev going.
Yeah.
Right? You can get Garland can get the puck to Mikheyev. Lindholm might be able to set something up, but you've got something there. And then you've got a fourth line of guys who are going to go out there and grind, who have that potential side to get up there and score a point. So
there's no reason. What are we in the last 19 games?
9-7-3.
There's no reason that we shouldn't be 13-14 wins.
100%.
Because like, if we're 13-14 wins in this last 19 games,
we're laughing.
We're literally chuckling.
Yeah.
We're not having this conversations because everybody's scoring. What's happened now is, as you see there, our depth fell away.
Yep.
Right?
And what do you do to change that? Like, you keep moving pieces around to try to spark people, but it's not working.
Well, I think you had an opportunity to make a fix at the deadline. But we didn't. So we can't. I mean, hindsight is easy for us irrational fans.
But not just that. Like, a lot of people are pointing, especially on social media, being like, oh, Tyler Toffoli sure looking good in Winnipeg. Yeah. What more would you have had to give up to get rid of Mikheyev in that deal? Like, you would have had to move someone to be able to bring Toffoli in.
Well, and that's what a lot of regular fans, like myself, we don't understand the whole cap issue. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't know. I was like, why didn't we get Toffoli? Well, it's simple. We don't have the cap room for him.
I'm sure there was a conversation saying, hey, we'll offer you something better, but you have to take this guy back or find a place for this guy to go in a three-way deal.
And they didn't want to do that.
Or couldn't do it. Like, who's to say that they didn't have a deal in place but couldn't find a team to either be a broker or to move Mikheyev to, or like someone who's making enough money to balance it out?
Yeah, exactly. No, I get it. Mikheyev would have been a perfect guy, perfect out there.
Yeah. That, to me, that's 100% what's...
We have a lot of viewers on Twitter. I'm just wondering... If somebody on Twitter, if you're listening on Twitter, can you do me a favor and send in a comment? I don't know how they would do that, Jake. Is it just a reply to the live stream?
No. So if you're watching on Twitter and you're watching from the actual broadcast screen on the far right side on the mobile or on the desktop page from your web browser, there's a chat. You can say something in the chat. It should come through.
Okay.
If you're on mobile, it's underneath where you'd normally reply. That's your chat box.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. 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 Yeah,
if you do just reply to the tweet that you see this on, that's great. We'll get a notification of that, but it won't come up in our feed, so we probably won't get to it during the show.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen any. We have a lot of people watching on Twitter, yet I haven't seen any people commenting. So get in there, Twitter. Start chatting. We love
chat. Tell us how we're wrong. Please do.
Yes. We can learn that way.
Hey,
don't be laughing at my Twitter people.
I mean, you are the Twitter people.
Wow. I have
you
nothing.
You are the Twitter people.
I have nothing. Go. You snot-nosed little kid.
Anything else about the Canucks before we get into some just general updates?
They have to get it together.
They will. I have faith that they will get it together. It's just how long is it going to take to get it together?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'd much rather be... And again, I think we've been very lucky this year with the Canucks. But
what do you mean lucky?
We've had a year of all years. We've broken records.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We've had the highest of highs that this middling portion. We're complaining. We've got 18, 21 points in the last 19 games, and the sky's falling.
Well, and that's what I find funny is
looking at it objectively. We're freaking out about nothing.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it is kind of one of those the Chicken Little, the sky is falling, because what did you say our record was in the last 17 or 19 games?
9-7-3.
So we're well over 500.
Yep.
Right? I think we're at, for the season, we're still at 689 or 683 winning percentage.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous percentage.
Right? I mean, we're winning 70% of the games we play.
But it's not good enough.
Which is funny. When you think of it, think back now. I mean, because we live in Calgary, think if the Flames fans were, if they were winning 70% of their games all season, they'd be right with us. They'd be happy. We're not.
Yeah.
Because we were winning 85% of our games at one point there.
Yeah. And it's one of those, it's okay to have this happen to a team. I'd much rather this happen now.
Yes.
With 30, 40 games remaining in the season than for us to come through, be on top of things, and then have this stumble in round one of the playoffs.
I guess the question comes down to, it's the end of the season. Let's just say today's the last day of the season. We're playing the Golden Noodles. Someone comes and says, Jake, I'll bet you $100 Golden Noodles knock out the Canucks. Are you taking the bet?
100% I'm taking that bet.
Yeah, of course, right? Second round, same guy comes to you and says, double or nothing. Are you taking the bet?
Who are we playing?
I don't know. Minnesota. I don't know.
Minnesota, 100% I'm taking that. Oilers? Oilers? I'm hesitant to take that.
Yeah.
To be completely honest.
The team I don't want to face until the final. Like, till the Western final.
Which won't happen. It'll literally, if we're playing them, it'll be in the second round.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, like.
But you know what that means?
That means we get to have the lotto line, because their depth is shittier than any other depth.
And we'll have to put up with Ray freaking being Ray.
Colorado, I'm probably putting the money on the Canucks, Dom.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I think Colorado's a great team. My only concern is, how do you shut down Connor McDavid for 4 out of 7 games? Because that's what you need to do.
Yes.
And do you do that by putting the lotto line back together to shut down McDavid, but then you have Draisaitl to worry about? it's a team that causes problems, and then when everything's failsafe, they put Draisaitl and McDavid together, and then you're screwed.
Well, that's the right. It's,
but I guess you could be looking at it the same way from the Canucks' perspective. Oh, they've got Miller, Besser down in your first line. You got Patterson second line. Oh shit, we need a goal in the third, last 10 minutes of the third in a decision game. Guess who the three forwards are coming over the ice with Quinn Hughes on defense, with Filip Hronek. Like, you've almost got a power play unit style pull in case of a, like, break in case of an emergency by putting out the Lotto line with Hughes and Hronek.
Yeah.
Because all five of them could score. All five of them could pass to set up a goal. There's not really a weakness. Defensively, they can handle themselves. But you don't want to rely on that. That's where you need Dakota Joshua. You need Sam Lafferty and Phil DiGiuseppe and Nils Amon, these players, to be scoring goals. Because you can't be a one-line team going into the playoffs. Toronto's tried that for many years. So has Edmonton. It doesn't work. You get into the playoffs.
It works during the regular season because you meet up with literally 16 weaker teams.
Yep.
During the season.
Yep.
Come playoff time, there's no weak teams. I'm sorry. There is no room for mistakes. It's a different game. The game changes in the playoff. Everybody knows that. It's not a secret. It's not a brand new, oh, look what happened in the playoffs. Oh my goodness. No, this happens every year in the playoffs.
Now we need to address something about that, because not today, but as we get closer to playoffs, we need consistency from the bloody officials. What's a penalty in game 80 and what's a penalty in game 7 is a penalty in game 1 of the playoffs and game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. I don't care how heinous it is. A hooking is still a hooking. A slash is still a slash. An elbowing call to someone's head or a cross check to the back of someone's head should be a fucking penalty, should be reviewed, should be a major, should be reviewed, and should have some goddamn supplemental hearing.
Well, why is it that, and I'm going back to the hit on Miller, because it terrified me when I saw, I was watching it live, and it terrified me when I saw it, because I thought, oh, because he went down funny. He was like,
well, as a player, you're probably told, like, go down, because you, especially a hit to the head, if you get dizzy, just go down, because it's much better you go down than to hurt yourself more.
But the thing is, so he got hit. There was a 2-minute penalty only.
Yep.
Yet the NHL, their spotter, took Miller off the ice and made him do concussion protocol.
Yeah. So clearly a contact to the head.
How can it? Because, I thought automatically contacts to the head had to be reviewed.
Doesn't have to be reviewed. No, that is, you have to call a major and then you can review it.
Yes. But it just blew, but it, we could go on and on.
Yeah.
You're right. It drives me nuts when you see it. But again, don't put yourself in a position where one bad call is going to cost you the game.
But I don't think that call costed the Canucks that game.
No, not at all. But it could have changed the game, because we should have got a 5-minute penalty.
100%. And even if they, okay, the refs were like, no, we're leaving it as, we're going to review it, it's a 2. How is there at least not a hearing from the Department of Player Safety?
Well, and even if leave it exactly the way that it happened, Department of Safety should still have come in and said, yeah, we need to look at this. They didn't.
Well, so, and that's what I need to understand. And I wish I had contacts with people who knew things better. And maybe I'll reach out to a friend of the show, Rod Peterson, and maybe he has some better understanding of this. They review a lot of those things. They just don't have a hearing about it with the player. So to me, that means they you would have had to have reviewed that, because there's no way you don't. But why is there no transparency from the Department of Player Safety saying, we reviewed it, this was our findings, this is why there was no anything.
From friend of the show, Matt Sakarrat, they didn't review it. There was no review of that play whatsoever.
That's asinine. If there was truly no review of that, that's asinine. And the Department of Player Safety, which is already a joke, is an even bigger joke.
Exactly. I agree.
Let's get into my favorite segment of the week. Is it your favorite segment of the week?
Of course it's my favorite segment of the week.
It's time for the old man predictions. How well did he do? Do-do-da, do-dee-do.
That's right, it is the old man.
Not my favorite time.
Do-da-dee-dee-dee-do. Two games played this past week. You said we would go 2-0. And we went 0-1-1, meaning we got one out of a total 4 points. That does not add up to 2-0. That does not add up to 2 points. There is no way you can talk yourself into being correct this week, sir. Not up. You've got nothing. I looked at all the angles.
I do have something. So let me talk. This is my segment. They were wrong. You remember last week we huddled? We whispered. I was going to say 0-1-1. They talked me into going 2-0.
I don't think that's how that works.
That's the way. See, they don't. Now they're going, well, I don't know. It's them.
Cutting the old man off with a segment going is going to become a meme in itself. Correct, Dom. Correct. But yeah, you have no justification on this one. 0-1-1. Did not look good in either game we played this week. And is it a case of being home for too long? I was listening to Scaris and Price today's show, and they mentioned, like, this is a long stretch where they've been at home. Have the home comforts gotten too much for them?
You know what? It could be, but...
Not an excuse. You're a professional athlete. I'm
tired of excuses, I guess. Right?
Me too.
I can come up with them. It was their fault, not mine. It's them.
And as my old coach used to say... Everyone's got excuses. Everyone's also got assholes. They both stink.
I don't think that's quite how it goes, but you were close.
Yeah, A for effort. I got halfway through and realized that's not how it goes, but we were sticking by it.
You kind of salvaged it a little bit.
Yeah, you know. So, old man, with 14 games remaining.
I need 13 wins.
We need to go 13-1 to end the season for your prediction.
Can I
to
make
correct.
Like obviously that prediction's going down the tubes?
No, you've this is the prediction that you said you were sticking by.
But can I redo it now?
No.
Because I lost. Not, that bet's done.
No, it is not done yet.
Oh, I want my Twitter people. Come on, Twitter people. Message them.
Your Twitter people.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to call them. My Twitter. You said they were my people.
That is fair. Is it Twitter or is it X?
I just keep calling it Twitter. Will we get in trouble if we call it Twitter when we're on X?
I don't know. But are we on X or are we on Twitter?
I don't know. It says X. Bugs me because I look at it and I think it's Celebrity Cruises because that's the same.
Yeah, that's because
logo.
You're a white privileged dude who's been on too many cruises. Don't look at me like that. Too many. Too many.
Pot, kettle.
How many have I been on?
Two.
How many have you been on?
More.
How many more?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's lost count. That's how many. But this week, we have three games. However, technically, I'm going to ask you for more predictions than just this week.
Oh, that kind of,
But I'm not going to say. You know what? You tried your best. Just like my saying, ting-tang, walla-walla, bing-bang is what you were trying to go for there. But you lost the thread. You lost the thread. 45 minutes into the show, some technical issues, The old man, his mind is officially gone.
They broke me.
So, for right now, we have three games. We have the Sabres, Canadiens, and the Flamers. Give me your prediction.
Well, it's good to see, this bugs me because now I've got to go against my own prediction.
Well, clearly we're going to go 13-1 in the next 14. So.
Oh, I have to say 3-0 in this one, but I can't. I'm going to say 1-1-1.
1-1-1 against this week of a. If we go 1-1-1 in this, if you're correct on this, and I'm going to hold you to saying where if you're correct on this.
Hold on.
That is a disappointing. You've already made your prediction. The prediction.
Nope, they agree. They're good.
The prediction hammer has come down. So let's make the announcement now because it kind of ties into why I need to ask you about more games. Because the old man has a new job. We have to change what day we go live because apparently his 9-to-5 is more important than us. However, it works out very well. We're now going to be live every single Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. That's right. We're moving it back 2 days and back 1 hour because trying to get home from rush hour traffic for myself for a 6 p.m. start Pacific time, not possible. I'm literally running in the door with like food that I have to scarf down. The old man, I didn't think he was going to make it because he had to eat food. Otherwise, he would have been some grumpy grumpalumpagus.
Grumpy grumpalumpagus.
Yeah. Have you seen yourself when you get hangry?
Dude, I love that word. can we clone that word? Grumpy, grumpa.
We can clone any word we want.
I think we should like trademark that one.
Oh, okay.
Put it on a shirt with my logo.
With and your then logo, put
grumpy grumpa lumpuses.
Well, I have an idea of what to do with the grumpy grumpa lumpagus. So. Yes, March 28th, we're going to be taking a week and a bit off because next Monday, we will not be live. We'll be live March 28th.
I was like, why are we waiting so long? But I guess it's only 10 days.
10 days.
Yeah.
We're already into the bottom half of March, which is absolutely ridiculous.
It's insane.
But yeah, so there'll be a bit of a gap. We'll come back okay. A little bit more rejuvenated. You guys will be able to get home and relax before you start listening to us jibber jabber online for 45 minutes to an hour.
Jibber jabber. Grumpy.
So with that being said, we have
a few more games that I've got to predict.
We have one more game that you have to predict.
Is that all?
Yeah. I also realized I put the wrong date. It's definitely the 27th because we're doing it on Wednesday.
Way to go.
Well, this
you
is
have
because
one job.
Yes, you're right. I have one job in the 25 minutes I have from getting home and going live. One job.
Jeez.
So when I'm in Puerto Vallarta next week, what day will you be on? Sunday. I don't know.
I'm in Puerto Vallarta next week, Jeff, you're a jerk. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, so it's March 27th. So we have one game to add to your predictions, and it is against the LA Kings.
Okay. I get to redo my prediction.
Well, you just get to add one to 1-1-1.
Fine. I'll go.
And you can't go 1-1-1-1 because that doesn't make sense.
Okay. 2-1-1.
2-1-1 is the official prediction from the old man.
Take it to the bank.
Or don't. You can take it to a bet site, maybe, but not.
I would have taken my bets like earlier in the year to the bank because I was nailing it.
You were really nailing it.
Weeks, not so good.
That's
the All-Star break did me in. It broke me.
Well, that's exactly. So wait. That's exactly what's happened to the Canucks. Is you've been broken. What have you changed since the All-Star break? Other than like a new job.
New job,
Two new jobs since then? I'm just kidding.
One new job since then. What are you talking about? Well, actually, I do have a second part-time job now, too. So I haven't told you about that one. It's dealing with helping promote a musical, music showcase monthly.
When are you going to have the time to write the articles that you need to write for me every month?
In my sleep.
Precisely. All right. You don't need to sleep. Just get AI to write it all.
There you go. You can't do that. I hate when you do that. It doesn't mean, I don't like it.
I don't like it.
What are we talking?
Of 2-1-1.
2-1-1.
We'll be back Wednesday, March 27th. But things we're hearing. GM meetings are happening within the NHL. The one thing that I've read and heard is that there is going to be a series on Amazon, a behind-the-scenes series that is going to be focusing on 10 to 12 star players that is going to be airing in fall. So I'm assuming that means they're filming now. They've been filming for a while.
They must have been. If they're...
Like, are they going to pick it up from the All-Star break and go through...
When is it supposed to air?
Fall.
Well, they've got all summer. I mean, they've got lots of time. They could.
But it's going to be behind the scenes of the NHL. You're going to do it during summer when there's no NHL?
Could be doing it during the playoffs. I don't know. Like, they've had to have done it.
Well, the only thing that makes sense to me is if they're doing that, like maybe just as a test drive of it, is pick it up from All-Star break onwards. Going into the playoffs.
Yeah, it could be, eh? Because you would want to have the final as just going into winning the Stanley Cup.
Well, and hope one of the 12 stars that you chose is going to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, I'm hoping they picked one. You would think they would have picked one star from each of the top 12 teams, you would think.
But there's no guarantee that even one of those top 12 teams would be in the playoffs at that point.
Let alone make it all the way.
Like, my thought process, you're going to have a series like this and you're not going to show Ovechkin and Crosby because they're not making the playoffs. They're not in the top 12 team this year.
Yeah, true.
So it'll be interesting to see how it works and what they do and who it is.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see there. And you had mentioned something else.
Yeah, when I was driving home tonight, I caught the pregame of the Flames game on the radio. And they were talking, I don't know who it was, to be honest. I think they might have been quoting Friedman, but I don't know that for sure. But anyways, they were saying that the GMs are talking about... opening up more challenges for the coaches. And I don't know how I feel about it because I don't want it to become where each team has three challenges.
No, I don't think you'd need that because you're not seeing challenges done. Because of the threat of a going shorthanded if you're wrong.
But now they're talking about, like, one of the ones they were talking about is the puck over the boards, shooting the puck over the glass. You're already going to get a penalty. So do you get a double?
Yeah, 100% you would.
Right?
If you challenge it and say, hey, it actually hit, and they review it and say, no, it didn't hit, yeah, you have two penalties. You have the penalty that incurred, and then you have your delay of game penalty.
So yeah,
you're down 5-on-3. I don't think it's there to catch huge errors that clearly should have been caught.
And I guess the only sport we could look at that has challenges like that is football. Yep. And a lot of times a coach, if they have a challenge left, they'll throw it in the last few minutes of a game because why not? All they're going to do is lose a timeout and that's not going to help them anyways.
There's no penalty. Now, again, I think an easy way to change that in the CFL, who cares about the NFL, is you make it a penalty. And the last last 5 minutes of the game, you throw that penalty, that challenge flag, it's a 10-yard delay a game. You're delaying the game.
Yes, I don't mind that, to be honest. That's actually a brilliant idea. So we'll see. We'll see what comes of it. It's a slippery slope. Oh, Flames are losing 3-0 so far, Mr. McCleary tells us.
Oof. Oof. Sorry, I had something pop up here while we were discussing this. There's thoughts from the GM meetings that are happening right now that there is going to be no changes to overtime.
And that's that one bugged me because I was hoping.
To me, that doesn't make sense because reading here, the NHL is on track to have 70% of extra time games end in overtime this season, which would be a record. That seems very high to me.
Really high.
Like, again, it's boring, but maybe it is better for the game to have it be boring and possession based.
I just hate that back and forth. If they just bring it in and just say you can't cross center.
Again, the NBA has it. It's called the over and back because they don't have an offsides line. Don't you bring it in past center? You can't go back with it.
Yeah, it makes it. You could still skate out to center and skate in the neutral zone there, and you're.
But you don't have much space, so.
Good.
100%. To me, that's the most shocking thing I've seen coming out of the GM meetings, and I'm sure as these meetings go on and as the year goes on into the off season after the playoffs, there could be some more discussion around that.
I did hear someone comment on it, and it's like, what if it's a slap shot? Someone takes a slap shot from the blue line and it misses, hits the boards, and goes back across, scoops all the way around.
You word it so intentionally bringing the puck beyond center.
But then people will just slap it around the boards.
Okay.
It wasn't intentional.
You
know what I mean? There's
100% there is, but
there's going to be that gray area.
That becomes a strategy. Guess who's going to be out on the ice every single time? It's going to be your fastest players. Well, slap that puck around. As soon as a player sees that, they're hustling and you no longer have possession. Yeah. So that's a risk you're going to have to be willing to take to do that.
Yeah. And maybe it's a case of it's not a penalty. You just lose possession and the other people start from behind. They blow the whistle. And the other team gets their puck behind their own net. I don't know. I'm just making shit up now.
Just make it a face-off. Face-off outside of your blue line. So, right, the Canucks
inside your blue line.
I think that's too big of a punishment. Again, I'm not saying make it a penalty. I'm literally saying call the play dead. Possession's up for 50-50 grabs. And you have to me, you bring it back to your side of center. That face off is at the blue line, your blue line there, because that's where you brought the puck into.
Makes sense.
But again, we're trying to make sense. We're not trying to make millions of dollars these owners.
Exactly. So, smarter minds will prevail.
I don't think smarter. I think more focused on one thing minds will prevail. Here you
go. I like this next topic.
Yes, shifting from the NHL.
Sorry.
Was that you shifting?
Yeah, it was me shifting to the CFL.
I
even got the right hand up, Jake.
I'm proud of you for that, but I'm gonna ask you a very serious question here. You used to sell cars, right?
Yeah.
If a car ever made that type of noise while shifting, would you sell it? Because whatever the fuck noise that just came out of your mouth was not a shift noise.
Like, carry on, like, bitch.
But in the world of the CFL, the Elks are seeking private ownership for the first time in franchise history. This is being reported by Dave Naylor, very, very reliable source for TSN.
Oh, it's a fact. I mean, the Edmonton Elks themselves came out and have basically stated that they are looking at it. Nothing's written in stone yet, but they've signed 12 non-disclosure agreements.
So there's interest at least, which is good to hear.
The biggest news on this is part of the ownerships. The only way they'll go private is the new owner has to guarantee a new stadium.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
I like that.
Yeah, and they can. This is big. Like, think about this for a second, how big this will be, because there's a couple teams out there, Stamps, who are owned by the Flames, that could sell off the Stamps with the same condition. Why not?
Yeah.
Build us a stadium.
But I mean, that would mean that that an organization owned by someone who I'm not allowed to talk about on the air would have to remember that he actually owned the team and put money and finances behind the team. But that's a conversation for another time, because it's absolutely sickening. And
but I guess question coming out of the Elks now is, two teams, three teams? The Winnipeg's still community owned, are they not?
Yeah, Winnipeg and Saskatchewan are still community owned. They're the only, they'll be the only two.
Are they going to be leaning in the same direction? Because you look what's happened. You look at Montreal. Their owner came in, and he is doing some major good things in Montreal. We beat the BC Lions drum to death about how great our owner is. Yep. And man, people are talking. We're March 18th.
And we're talking about the CFL. TSN, not just us. TSN is talking about the CFL.
But not only are they talking about the CFL, a big portion of the audience with the Rod Peterson show today was talking about the Grey Cup in Vancouver and how exciting it is, because Vancouver in the last 3 years now, 2 years.
This will be the third year.
This will be the third year. They've done such a huge job for their season opener, making it such a big spectacle.
What are they going to do with the Grey Cup?
Like, how big? You literally, who was the first year at their...
One Republic.
Second year.
It wasn't last year.
I forget.
LL Cool J.
LL Cool J. Those are two pretty big names. They could literally take the last 10 Grey Cups and they could have headlined the Grey Cup.
Any of them. They could. They should have. They would have been bigger than whoever headlined it.
So think how big it has to be, because he set that bar so damn high. He's probably in his office going, oh, what have I done to myself? They have they've talked about it. They've sent out emails already. They have a zip line. It's going to be the longest zip line in the world, I think. And it's going from across water. It's
to the observatory, right?
Yeah. It's what the, what, this is cool. I'm excited about going. With my new jobs, I sell RVs for a living now. Obviously, November is not a big month for RVs. So when I told them that I'm probably going to have to take a whole lot of time off in November, they're like, please do. And I'm like, okay.
Please do. We don't want to pay you to sit around and do nothing.
Right? So we got to figure out how to get the old man paid to go to Vancouver in November.
I have no ways of doing this. I'm sorry.
I'm thinking we drive an RV. That'd probably be scary.
Yeah, no, I've driven through there in November with you. I am not taking an RV through there with you. No, it's interesting in that there's actual interest in the CFL during the offseason.
Yeah.
Especially because there's the NFL season is the new NFL season just started. So there's lots of signings, lots of trades, lots of rumors and news around the NFL, which never stops. It's a 12, they play 20 weeks and they're talked about the other. Think about this. The NFL has played for 20 weeks and they're talked about for 52 of them.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm not kidding. When I was down there, yes, it was just before Super Bowl, so it was overly hyped. But I was talking to a guy there and he goes, we talked football 24/7. You can turn on the radio at any given time, in any given month, in any given hour, and they're going to be talking about football. Rod talks about it all the time. It blows his mind. Nobody talks about the NHL.
No. And not just that, but the stations, Sportsnet 650, Sportsnet 960, they go dead after 9 o'clock. It's it they transition to ESPN radio or CBS radio, and that's all they talk about.
Yes. Football.
And it's like, why isn't there? Give us an hour on the air. Like, there's so many other podcasts and other people out there that need, like, put a pre-recording of the Rod Peterson Show out there on the radio.
Don't even start me.
But it's asinine to me that there's this appetite for sports 24/7, 365. We get that. The NFL has monopolized it.
Yes.
But in Canada,
they created it.
But not just that, but in Canada, there's that appetite for sports talk.
They're dying. Every city that has an NHL team has enough podcasts that they could fill a 24-hour radio station and never hear the same thing repeated.
Correct.
It would be easy. 100%. Think about it.
100% it would be.
Easy.
And it makes no sense to me why it's not being
price. They go, what, 2 hours every day?
I think so.
Right? There's probably 100 other people like us doing what
an hour every week. An hour every week, 2 hours. Like, I can think of three off the top of my head that do an hour to 2 hours every single week.
Yes. Be easy. Easy. But I think we should go on radio. I think they should put us on radio.
I mean, I've always been told that we have the face for radio, so. And a voice for television.
Okay.
I was waiting for some sort of reaction and there wasn't any.
Nothing.
All right, good to know. Well, about that time, folks. You can follow the show at HSP_pod. You can follow the old man at OldManHSP on X or Twitter or whatever it is you want to call it. You can follow me at JStreams, J-E-H Streams. Old man, what sort of plugs do you have this week for whatever business you got going?
This week, I'm not going to talk about my music stuff yet because that's coming. But I will say on the music front, if you have a business and you're looking to get your business in front of a new audience in a unique way, and $250 is a kind of a budget that you have, you might want to reach out to me. It's a cool, cool concept. It's going to explode really quickly. So if you're interested in that, DM me, call me, reach out to me somehow.
Summon him with your spiritual powers.
Yes. And with my new job at Rangeland RV in beautiful Rocky View, Alberta, if you're looking for a recreational vehicle of any kind, whether it be an A-class, C-class, travel trailer, destination trailer, tent trailers, or anything in between, reach out. We got them, and we got a lot. And they've really actually brought prices down because they have a lot of 2023s left. So they're doing a massive clearance on their 2023s still. So reach out. I'm your guy.
Perfect.
How's that for a commercial?
That was a pretty good commercial. It was nice, concise. It was quick. It sounded almost like a radio hit. If anyone's listening, you can reach out to us at HSP_pod. We'll fill up your radio station full of nonsense and shenanigans for 1 hour a week. But you beautiful people, have yourselves a wonderful night. Mwah. And goodbye.